I don't know if this phrase was in the one of the worship songs earlier, but during worship one, I wrote it down. And it says, I exist to bring you praise. I exist to bring you praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to continue the series that we're in called The Journey of Faith. Everyone say that. The Journey of Faith. We're in step number six. We're going to break up step number six because it's too important to rush through it. I want you to get this because we're going to talk about covenant. And we need to get the revelation of covenant. It's different than agreements, binders, etc. It is something completely different from that. And so I wanted to take our time going through it, even if it's just a little bit shorter. But if we remember for the students in the class here that when we talk about the journey of faith, that there's going to be a whole lot of changes in our journey. Amen? We all have different changes, many changes that are going to happen. But it takes, we want to understand the steps of faith that Abraham took because we can apply them into our own lives. And, you know, I wrote down a question. If you don't like change, get over it. If you don't like change, get over it. Did I say question? I'll make a statement. Oh, that's because I wrote it in a question. I wrote, don't like change? Get over it. Thank you. So, all right. Number one was, God has a voice, and I'm capable of hearing it. Hear the call of God in our life. Amen? Step number two was leaving the old life behind, the old ways of thinking, the old philosophies, the things that hold us back, leaving our own life. When we think about Abram having to leave the life that he had. The third one was pressing beyond burnout. We talked about being offended. I'm telling you, there's always opportunity to be offended. Always. And we have to guard our hearts about not carrying offenses because they will hinder us from moving on in faith. The fourth step we looked at was staying out of strife. And we talked about the verse that says, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And I know some of you may work around strife. You just have to work at tearing down the strongholds the best that you can. And then last week we talked about building an altar. Where can you build an altar? Thank you. Anytime, anywhere. I got a call from somebody yesterday, and they were off the charts. I said, do we need to put a rope around your ankle to keep you on the planet? And they had never heard the teaching before, and they went nuts with it. And so that's really encouraging. But, you know, the important thing about altars and taking the 2 foot, for those who weren't here last week, that little 2 foot square area that your feet stand on, that's your altar. That's your potential altar, or where you're sitting, or where you're walking. I just build an altar. That's all it takes. 5 seconds. I'm just going to build an altar of worship, of sacrifice, and praise to the Lord. And it'll change the atmosphere. You need an atmospheric change? Build an altar. There's times in certain places I've had to go into the bathrooms to build an altar, to get away. So that's okay. And then Abram at the time had four types of altars that he built. He built an altar of praise. He built an altar of prayer. He built an altar of peace and an altar of provision. And we know that there's dual Hebrew names that go along with all of those as we praise. So today we're going to do the first part of understanding covenant. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, and if you are Christ's, then you are. Say, I am Abraham's seed, and I'm an heir according to the promise. Now, we could preach the whole message right here on being Abraham's seed, because he was promised. And we'll get into it. I want to get ahead of myself. So we know that this was a promise to Abraham to have an abundant seed, and we're going to go into that in terms of understanding covenant. So let's look at Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now, remember, this guy was a heathen. He didn't know God, didn't know anything about God, never heard God. Went up to his wife, Sarai, and said, hey, we're leaving. Who told you? I don't know, God. God who? I don't know. What his name is. Where did he tell we were going? Well, we're going somewhere. You don't know where we're going? No, we don't know where we're going. We're leaving. I don't think that would work with Mary tomorrow. Come on, Mary, get in the car. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, who told you? Well, God did. What God? Who God? What's his name? Come on. Just think about it. Think about Abram's heart to be able to say yes. And so here it is. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and I am your exceedingly great reward. Now, that's the promise. Back up to verse 1, Larry. That's the promise. Now, everybody knows that the promise is point A. And everybody knows that B is when we get the promise. And there's a process in the middle. Somebody say amen. Now, sometimes those processes are really short. Those are the funnest blessings, aren't they? Come on, funnest. I know that's not a word, but God bless you English people. And then there's some that are kind of medium. And then there's some that kind of linger on. And then there's a little bit of negativity that comes in. And then there's a little bit of attack that comes in. And all the things that happen. And we still have to stand and believe until it happens. In Hebrews 11, it said there were those who believed until they died, not having received the things that they were believing for. So how long do you wait? How long do you believe? Until you got it. And even if it doesn't come in your right timing, you keep believing. Got it? Do not be afraid, church. I'm your shield to protect you, and I'm your exceedingly great reward. Verse 2. Thank you, Larry. And Abram said, but Lord, what are you going to give me? Really, he's saying, you're making me a promise that I'm going to have kids, and I'm 90 years old, and it's crazy. What guarantee are you going to give me that this is going to happen? Got that guarantee. Seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house, the only one in the heir of my house, will be Eliezer of Damascus, verse 3. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, and indeed one born in my house is my heir, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him again and said, this one shall not be your heir. Eleazar is not going to be your heir. But your heir is going to be the one who will come from your own body. Ooh, that's a stretch of faith. Come on, verse 5. And then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven. So the first promise was he was going to have a baby. The second promise is right here. This is even bigger than the first. Count the stars and see if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. That's the number of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and spiritual kids and spiritual grandkids that you're going to be. Wow. So he had two things that smacked him up the side of the head like a tire tool. One, that he was going to have a baby, and two, he was going to have a whole pile of descendants. Now, he didn't understand the spiritual aspect of this, but he did eventually. Verse 6. And he believed God. When God asks you to do something, and it's way past your ability to believe, believe. When it doesn't look right, believe. When it's not going right, believe. When it's bigger than you, which it always is, believe. And then God accounted it for him to righteousness. So as we think about this covenant that God was beginning to cut with Abram, we're going to back up a little bit to the covenants of the Scriptures. We know what the first covenant was. Who remembers what the first covenant was? Noah, the Noahic covenant. And what was that covenant? I will never flood the earth. Okay, church, when you read this crap that says the Arctic Circle is going to all melt and the water level is going to go up, we're going to die by flood. Take him to Genesis 6 and says, I will never flood the earth again. Am I shouting too loud? Got the message. Okay, we can believe the word. And God said, by covenant, I will never flood the earth again. It's going to burn with fire and brimstone, but it's not going to be flooded with water. Can I have an amen? All right, there we go. All right, then Abraham, the covenant that God cut with Abraham, the righteousness by faith. We also have the covenant of Moses, the Mosaic law. And that's what's cool about Abraham, is that the covenant of faith came before the law. The law was to straighten out a bunch of lawbreakers, right? If you never break the law, why do you need the law? That's a good point, Michael. Then the David anointing, the David covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then, of course, the new covenant. So those are the five covenants, all right? So let's go on. Covenant is the strongest binding agreement on the earth. Nothing man can do can change the strength of covenant promise. Why? Because God and blood is involved. Why can we have a new covenant? Because the blood of Jesus is involved. How can we believe the Abrahamic covenant? Because as we'll see eventually, there's blood that's involved in the covenant. So Abraham being the father of our faith, let's look at James 2:22. And it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Now, this says Abraham, but before it was Abram, because we're going to go over why his name was changed and how. Not today. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, there's three things in this verse you got to see. First of all, we see faith. Where do we see faith? What phrase tells us there's faith? Thank you. Abraham believed. Thank you very much. All right? And then what's the next one we see about right standing with God? It was counted in righteousness. Right standing with God. Okay? And then the third one. And he was called the friend. The covenant friend of God. He's got covenant written all over it. So it's a great verse to understand that. Then when we think about covenant, we must think about we enter into covenant not pushed, not forced, but we come into covenant by faith. We have to believe in faith. So we go to the verse in the scripture that has the word faith three times. Everyone say three times. And this is Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, for in it, which is the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, just shall live by faith. So we got three faiths and three, what are the words called right before that? Adjectives, whatever they are. From faith to faith by faith. From faith to faith by faith. From faith. Why? Why from faith? Because faith is always a new beginning. And to faith means that there's an expected end to the faith that we just begun. And then it's by faith because we maintain faith between point one and point two. It's the only verse that's got three times that faith is written in it. It's awesome. And so the elements of and we looked at James 2:23. I guess we didn't look at it. But anyway, let's look at James 2:23 again, Larry. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him to righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The three things that are really important here is faith, Abraham believed, righteousness, that was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Those are the three aspects of covenant that we're gonna dig into and look at. Faith, because faith is also the requirement for salvation. What's more important than salvation? Nothing, honey. And because we believe God, then we move into righteousness. What's righteousness? We go into a right standing with God. Today, we have things that we want to be in right standing with. For instance, you want to make sure that you're in right standing paying credit cards off, or you want to be in right standing with your bank, or you want to be in right standing with your business, your boss, and those type of things. Well, the most important thing is to be in right standing with God, right? And that's not been understood. And then, because of that right standing, we move into the covenant relationship of friendship. And that's where I'm going to leave you hanging until next week, because we're going to talk about the covenant friendship, the blood covenant. Okay? All right, let's stand. Father, I thank you that you're stretching us. To stretch our minds, stretch our hearts, stretch our spirits, Lord, to believe you for more, not just through this series, but Lord, Father, in the hour and the seasons that we're in, as we did last week where we were stretched to believe God for miracles. We were stretched to believe for healing. Lord, we were stretched. And so, Father, continue to stretch us. Everyone say, stretch me, Lord. And he'll do it well, and he'll do it right. And so, continue to stretch us. Let's not stagnate. Let's not be like stagnant water. But let's be stretched in faith as we move into blood covenant and have an understanding of the power of the blood of loyalty and protection and provision, the three things of blood covenant. So, Father, we thank you for a release of that, and I pray for each and every one of us here today. Pray for the spirit of holiness, spirit of healing, the spirit of power to walk with us, to believe you for the best. And for that, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody shout it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a blessed week.